Good morning. I've just got the one verse. If you want to know about light, come next Sunday morning. It's not me, but someone else will be speaking on light. I suppose the first question that we would ask, the moment we look at that verse and read it, we're reminded there, well, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? Now, I know the younger ones here will be saying this morning, salt doesn't lose its taste. Salt is salt no matter how much you water it down. You ever put a grain of salt into a cup of water or a glass of water? It's still salty. So how can salt lose its savour? Well, there's another sort of salt that is rock salt. Some of us use rock salt, but particularly in Israel, in the southwest corner of the Dead Sea, there's a massive hill of salt, and it's rock salt. And it's one that is quite big, and some have estimated it as being quite massive, as 15 square miles in elevation. I don't quite know how to work it. I was never any good at maths. But during the time of Jesus, that was a very common sight. And it's full of impurities. And, of course, it has chemicals in it that cause the breakdown of salt. And it's a noted fact that because of the heat of the sun, the whole of the outside of that hill is no longer salty. It absorbs the saltiness out of it, and it is broken down and no longer salty. There's another thought also that emphasizes that, and that is when people used to do their baking in the open, they used to pack it underneath with rock salt so that the heat didn't transfer straight into the earth. It transferred into the salt. But again, because it got hot, it got tasteless and was no good for anything except to be thrown away. So having established that we're talking about that type of salt, we need to ask ourselves the next question. What did Jesus mean by saying, "You are salt"? Please note, the emphasis is on the word "are salt". Not "you will be salt" or "you will become salt". You are salt. And that's those who are following him, those who have received him. They are salt. Now, what's the purpose of salt? Well, they're slowly changing their mind again and telling us salt is now good for you. They're getting onto that again. And some of us think of salt just being used to flavour food. But those who are my age and older, well, you know, it's had other purposes, didn't it? I wonder if you can remember as children how you kept your meat fresh. You didn't put it in a fridge, we didn't have one. We didn't even have a freezer. Some of us had a cold cupboard, you know, one of these great big stone things that used to be out in the back garden. And we put the stuff in there. But we did something with it, particularly meat, which was very quick in going off. You rubbed it in salt because salt was a preservative. It stopped corruption. Getting the message? You're salt if you belong to Jesus, and you're to stop the corruption that's going on in the world. You ever thought about that? Stopping corruption, the bad things that are being done. Oh, I can remember when we used to be taught that when I was quite young, that we learnt to do things and we were told you're to be people who are full of salt. You're to be people who are going to stop bad things happening in the world, in the society around you. And because of that, people who knew Jesus, trusted in Jesus, talked about Jesus with other people. And they became known by some people as religious fanatics, you know, people you want to avoid. But very often people knew you were a follower of Jesus. And when you walked into the factory shop, or amongst the workers, and they said, uh-oh, here comes that Christian, the dirty joke stopped. Those little nasty remarks that some of the men made about the ladies working, it stopped when you walked in. Why? Because you're salt. You stop in the corruption. And they took notice of it. But you know, well, maybe I shouldn't get too concerned, but I do get a bit worried that today we're trying to be honey. We're trying to spread good news, which of course we're supposed to do. And yes, we're supposed to tell people God loves them. Yes, but we try so often to make things better. Tell them how good things are. And people say, oh, that's a load of rubbish. He's away with the fairies. Doesn't know the trouble I see. And so we're trying to make the gospel, the good news, better by making it honey. Well, if you get a load of honey about the place, all you're going to catch is flies. But if you're salt, you're there to create the flavour of the gospel as that which will change their lives. It's to be, as one commentator in a commentary that I did look up after I did some studying, he says that those who are salt of the earth are to communicate the saving power of Jesus. When was the last time I said to somebody, Jesus not only loves you, but he wants to save you. He died for that purpose. When was the last time we tried to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? As we've already been reminded, that tremendous grace of God that sent Jesus to die at Calvary for you and for me. How can we lose our savour? How can we stop being salt? Well, we stop being salt when we no longer share Jesus as Saviour and as Lord. I've always struggled a little bit with my life growing up, particularly when I became a Christian. Every part of my life was divided into compartments. I had, starting from quite young, my work life. I had my entertainment life, you know, the great big cinema, and we had something like 14 in Southend. I went to most of them in a week. I did very well. I loved them. Garen's, Temperance, any seat in the house? Who remembers them days? Oh, one or two of you do. Good show. What about the gods for sixpence? Yeah, that was the old Gorman. Yeah, wonderful. And that was old money, not the new stuff. But yeah, I had all that divided up. I even had my dance life, which I used to go to. And I had my female side, you know, the ladies. Hope my wife's not listening. But it was all divided up. And then I had my church life. Wednesdays, prayer meeting. Sundays, the services. And if I remember rightly, Friday was Christian Endeavour. Probably never heard of that, some of you, but there you are. But it was all divided up. And I kept them separate. When I went to the pictures, I didn't take Jesus with me. Dearie me, some of the stuff I like to watch on those screens, don't think Jesus would have been interested in all that violence and shooting and everything else. But then I had to be taught a little lesson. Jesus didn't want to be just part of my religious life. He wanted to be part of all my life. He wanted me to take him to the pictures. He wanted me to take him to the dance hall. That's upset some of my generation, I'll tell you. I even got reminded once by a certain elder in a church I was in when I used to go to the public house for a meal on a Sunday school outing. In those days, that was verboten. Douglas, I know you didn't go in there to have a drink. I know you went to eat, but the children don't know that. So be careful what you do and where you go and behave. Well, leave that aside a little bit. But what the stress is Jesus wants to be in every part of my life. And he wants me to be there for him. And so we're to be, as we're reminded, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 50, if you wanted to make a note of that, Mark 9 and verse 50, we are to be people who are salt in ourselves, and we are to be seasoned with salt. We're to be people that no matter where we are, we're willing to share Jesus with other people. That's the salt. Sharing Jesus as a Savior, as Lord, is the one who can make the difference in our life. And yes, we're to be people who are reaching out to each other, and because of where salt, to be at peace with each other. But salt is so important. You see, as I said last time I was preaching, which was just a few weeks ago, I said we need to take on board the teaching of James, where he says faith without works is dead. It's no good saying I've got faith in Jesus if I'm not willing to do the work that he's asked me to do, to share him with others. Most of us have heard the story, and some say it's true, others say it isn't, of the great tightrope walker Blondin, who put a rope across one side of Niagara Falls to the other and was going to walk across it with a wheelbarrow, and he did. He went out and he came back, so the story goes. And then he says, who believes I could take a human being across? Oh, yes, 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 I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. Okay, said the blondin who was the tightrope walker, you're next. Boy, you couldn't see him for dust. He ran for it. He believed up here blondin could do it, but he didn't believe in here. Well, the story goes on, at least the one I read. An old lady hobbled up, jumped in, and he took her across and brought her back. It was Mum. Mum knew her boy could do it. That's the point. Am I showing Jesus by the things I do, by the things I say? So, so important. We're to be people who by our actions show Jesus. When I was half my present age, well, one of the writers of religious thinking was Watchman Nee. And I read Watchman Nee, and a Chinaman, and I was challenged because he says, you have received Jesus and Jesus has come into your life. Therefore, what do people expect to see from Christians? And do you know what he said? He said, they expect to see Jesus's all over the place. In other words, I'm to be like Jesus. Now, some of us say, oh, that's not on. But wait a minute. Doesn't Scripture tell us that the work of the Holy Spirit is to make us like Jesus? Now, when I first read that, I was a little bit stupid because I thought that meant I would have nail prints in my hands, in my feet, and I would have the marks of the crown of thorns. I really thought I was going to look like Jesus when he was crucified. But it doesn't mean that. It means the character, the life of Jesus will be seen in and through me. Didn't Jesus say that? You shall do greater things than I have done. Dear me. You're going to do all these things. Jesus is the evidence. One last point. Am I the salt of the earth? You see, salt is to be spread around. And too often, and I don't know, there might be still one in the library. I remember it a long while ago. It might still be there. If you want to be salt, get out of the salt cellar or the salt shaker. Too many believers today are still locked in the salt shaker. Probably in the security of the church, the church fellowship. But we're to get out there. We're to be salt in the world so that when Jesus comes again, and if you want to make a note of a real challenge, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. Jesus says, repent, or I will come quickly. And yes, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's not a very nice description if you've ever seen one being sick. And I've seen that many a Saturday night, just after the pubs have opened out or closed. They don't close so early now, but you see all that. It's not nice. But Jesus says, take warning. Get out of that salt cellar. Live in the world for me. May the Lord help each one of us to be salt that doesn't lose its savour. We're going to sing again. This is my desire. Thank you.